My friend Miles.
Good morning, PML. It is your boy, it's Nefarious, and I am here for a wonderful show with a wonderful cast. We got D-Lloyd in the building. D-Lloyd,
yes,
be
sir.
Wonderful.
What's good, PML fam? Boy, D-Lloyd, we're back. Another episode. Today is advanced day.
Shit. Sorry,
man. You're catching me. Because I was playing the game. You'll catch me slipping. No, sir.
Why you playing the game while on the
if
show?
If you ever have to have surgery and you walk in the room and AZ's putting the gloves on, bro, you are fucked.
Yeah, that's funny because I wasn't wearing gloves.
Oh, he wasn't even wearing gloves, bro.
He wasn't even wearing gloves, bro. You're about to die, bro.
You're super dead, bro.
you super dying, bro. He's like, if you lean down and whisper into the air, the patient, it's either me that's going to kill you or the disease I give you after working on you with no gloves.
It was rough, bro.
I thought I did pretty. It took me 5 minutes to kill him.
That's just that brutal murder, bro.
Hey, he
listen,
killed him.
I posted his final moments of me trying to help him.
Yeah, he took 2 seconds. He looked at, after 5 minutes, he looked at the assistant. He said, time. He's like, 5 minutes is perfect. Yeah, that's my
bro,
first
bro.
One.
I posted the clip in chat, bro. You got to watch it. I tried to save. I tried to give him water, bro. I tried.
Try. That was bad, bro. But, why not have done that? We also have HD here, obviously.
Hello.
There you go, man.
I'm out of our three successful surgeries.
There you go. That's a lot of words right there. More
I think success is up to the eye of the observer. I walked in on this man. I had to tell him what to use. He dropped the tool, so now he had to use something else. You know, if I had to give him a grade out of A to F, I'd give him a super F.
Super
That's
F. That's
crazy.
You go, bro.
That super F is crazy.
That man standing on business, baby.
Nah, bro, you missed out. You gotta give him a Z, bro. Your name's Geraldo. Give him a Z.
you get a Z.
I wasn't that
like
Geraldo.
That's high level merit right there.
It was nothing like Z, bro.
Z is above an A, he said. If he gives you a Z, bro, you up there.
Hey, if that's what Z do is crazy, bro. I'm questioning a lot of shit right now, bro.
The stream name was literally called me Geraldo, bro. So that's who I was.
But
that's crazy.
I'm doing the introductions. We also have Z in the building.
If HD's doing your surgery, bro, you might as well just not go.
That's
just save
crazy,
your money.
Bro.
Bro, never mind the surgery. I watched that man try to put a floppy disk in the computer. And that shit was atrocious.
Hey, I know that was probably harder than getting the ribs open.
He kept dropping floppy disks. His shit was funny. It's like,
damn, bro, that's crazy. Fuck y'all,
that's
bro.
Crazy.
Your mom's a hoe.
It's crazy because poor HD's just trying to better his life, bro. With dogging him on
that's
it.
That's all I'm trying to do, bro. I'm trying to learn how to do surgery and save lives, bro. That
just
way, if being a firefighter don't work out, I can go cut you open.
That's wild. That's wild. We got plenty to talk about. We got the games to talk about. We got next to talk about as well. Without further ado, Z, you have the games from this week open.
I do. I think we only had two.
I think there were two yesterday. One was CPU.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So... Saints defeated the Panthers 24-31.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 30 points my way. PML knockout champ, baby. We win something. We win something. Right. I need a PML knockout trophy because I am the king right now. There needs to be one. I'm going to be, as a commissioner, I will be pushing for a PML knockout trophy, and I deserve it. A-Rod's up.
Good luck.
The one thing I don't like is A-Rod is up.
Icon? Like, Cook got the Super Bowl icon? Can you get,
So, I was thinking that same thing. There should be a role for it, but it should switch every year. Obviously, you can't take Cooks away, But the knockout should go to each person that wins it that season. So, you know, Neff would get it right now. Next year, if D-Lloyd won it, D-Lloyd, you would get the role, and Neff would go away. Just keep passing it along.
That's not a bad idea. Because I feel like being a PML knockout champion is harder than you think. I like to thank God, first and foremost.
All you did was pick Commander's opponents.
Hey, listen.
That was falling for the last three weeks, bro. It bit him in the ass.
I like to thank God. I like to thank Jesus. I like to thank my mom, my pops for making me the man I am today. I'd like to thank Miles for finding a way to win a game for once.
Do you forgive Miles for backing out of that trade for winning you 30
absolutely
points?
Not. Absolutely
listen, that
not.
Pays, that pays for your free trade that you lost.
But that's true. He owes me 10. He owes me 10.
Back, bro. 10?
No. He owes me 20. I get 30.
He used your free trade because me and you traded and it was only
but
10.
I had to make two trades and I had to spend 20 points. All right,
that
so I owe him.
Forgetting Micah.
I owe him 10.
No, you don't. Nobody owes nobody, bro. Everything's even.
Well, I like to thank the Academy as well and all my fans across the nation. Thank you very much for your love and support. I like to thank Zeraldo for being here and making my life miserable. I like to thank D-Lloyd for being my friend.
Yes, sir, baby. My friend of the year.
I like to thank H for firefighting and saving D-Lloyd from the fire and not saving the other guy that died in the fire.
Bro, I was the other guy.
You were the one that died.
I was the other guy.
That's
crazy, bro.
I also like to thank Bacon. But taking a free PS5 and leaving us.
Crazy. He'll be back, bro. He'll be back. He wants to come back for NCAA.
I also like to thank Greeny for trying to ditch K-Mac at the end of the season, creating a whole CPU in the playoffs aspect, and K-Mac losing to the CPU, crazy. Having a restart, and the force one to move on to the next thing. I like to thank Natural for disengaging with PML in general. Thank you for leaving. I like to thank A-Rod for always being consistent on not bullying, besides when it actually affects A-Rod and attacking HD. He only cares when you're bullying his. I like to thank A-Rod for also going on strike. And PML still moving
along.
Man,
wrap this shit up. We got games to get to, dog.
This is going to be a good show. Let him go. No. Let him cook.
I got to thank a lot of people.
Thank JT next.
I like to thank JT for using his executive order or his putting down his foot for terrible decisions. Doesn't do it when it needs to be done. Does it when he wants to have fun. That rhymes. Executive order will call up E players. Not an executive order to fix abilities. Not an executive order with the speed trees. None of that. Executive order with the position changes for speed trees. No executive order. The executive order is nobody voted on calling up Evolve players, but we're going to do it. I want people to join Evolve. Well, Evolve's nobody joins it. KMFO's just beating up on all the computer, all the other trash ass users in there that can't cut it in PML and just. Padding, stat padding, getting a 95 overall quarterback called up. I also wasted 90 something tests. He said, I did 93. I also wasted over 100 tests to get my practice squad player from a 67 to a 78. That's my benefit that I got. Wasting all my tests. I didn't get a 92 overall quarterback out of the blue. I didn't pull it out of my ass. Ta-da, look at that. You just use example for like that. I like to thank Fallen for being ass actually and tricking the whole league. I like to thank SP Dot for joining the commission group. Nothing negative to say about SP Dot, he's cool. I like to thank Debo for not caring about PML and wasting the two draft picks I sent him for Waddle.
It's just so toxic.
I like Beast saying that he's going to get Josh Allen as X Factor, but really can't because he can't really throw the ball throwing interceptions. I like to thank Beast for that. I like to thank Greeny for dropping 12 into coverage somehow, some way, even though we're only allowed 11 on the field.
He's got the coach out there in a middle zone, bro. He's got his coach out there in a deep blue.
Big coach, y'all are so tired, bro. Positivity, like, guys.
Hey, bro, I didn't say it. I'm just telling him how it's possible. That's all.
I'd like to thank Madigy for still running the same offense that he had the Raiders. Run first, pass second with Patrick Mahomes running jet sweeps and RPOs. That's all he runs as a coach. Patrick is used like that. I'd like to thank Codes. I'd like to thank Codes for being a snitch and now being a snitch with a badge. So shout out Codes. I'd like to thank King Mike for giving up, I guess. Just completely giving up competing. First sign of difficulty, he just curled into a ball and he's just going to accept it. When he had good teams, he plays. When he doesn't have good teams, I guess you just come and accept it for what it is. All right. I also like to thank DK for running the pitch spread defense and try to do it in this cycle and not having success for the first seasons. I thank Kieran for pretending everybody and everything and kind of not knowing anything about nothing. I like to thank who else is in there? I like to thank Water for participating in PML, I guess, and doing highlight videos. I like to thank D-Lloyd for yearing and no siring on the yes siring off the field and no siring on the field. I like to thank CB for also showing me as a user that eclipsed maybe over 5 wins twice this cycle that speed does not matter because obviously his team plan and his team is working. I like to thank the I like to thank
for showing me speed doesn't matter.
I like to thank the Browns AMFO for always pushing the boundaries of every single rule that have shown us that we got holes, that we got gray areas that we look at. I like to thank A-Rod for finally getting wins. You know, the most he's probably had in fucking 6 seasons now. You know, we really doubted you, and you've proven that, you know, with 10,000 first-round pick, 10,000 first picks that maybe one day compete. So, I also like to thank the Bengals for not participating in chat, showing us that we might have made a mistake. I also like to thank Kurt. I'd like to thank Kurt. Kurt, I don't even got nothing to say about Kurt. Hey, you know, Kurt, you do you. I like to thank you for throwing interceptions still with Zach Wilson. I watch him, and I like to thank the fact that I watch you because now I know you're not real news. You're just fake news. Who else do I need to thank? I went through the AFC West, AFC East. I like to thank Drama Man for actually, I want to drink that. I need Drama Man to participate in chat. I know at 5-6 and leading your division, you've shown you are ass besides season 1. You need to show up in chat and talk your shit. I'd like to thank HD for always showing me what's wrong with Madden early in the cycle with the dives, the speed option, and always testing boundaries of gameplay and claiming ignorant at the end. I also like to thank Burn for drafting QBs and getting wide receivers to also not have a good offense. I think it's very, very good to put the eyes on you and take off of me because I suck too, but you suck more. I like to thank Miles. I like to thank Miles for obviously winning his last game. Nobody believed in you, so that's good. Always putting in the fact that nobody's going to believe you and believe you're going to win a game. Learn him to pick his brother and his brother losing the game. Oh, shout out. I like to thank Burn for losing that game too, you clown. But with Miles, I like to thank make you feel so terrible at the game. Because that's why everybody picked against you, and Fallen picked against you at the end. And next thing you know, there you go, you lost. I'd like to thank Z for, you know, being the best regular season champ we ever had in PML. Not really much since, like, Madden 21. I'd like to thank Cook. I'd like to thank Cook and the Rams for, you know, slightly cheesing, but being such a nice guy that nobody cares. At the end of that, I'd like to thank you for disappearing. I'm going to disappear from the league. Ta-da! There you are. I'd like to thank the 49ers and CEO for trying. The league just got too advanced for you. Maybe next time. And whoever joins in that, hopefully they can compete. I'd like to thank Wimmy for being a washing machine, keeping clothes clean, and doing everything he can to do that. I also like to thank him for trying to force feed Justin Jefferson.
That reminds me, I gotta go swap my laundry. I'll be back when he's done.
I'd like to thank him for force feeding Justin Jefferson and trying to pretend that he could pass at this point. You still can't pass. I'd like to thank, I think somebody said, right, I just threw it. Why didn't Justin Jefferson come down with that? I know I threw in the full coverage, but come on. You get that. I'd like to thank Hefe for going to Brazil constantly and only competing for one season because the rest of the time he's taking vacation. I'd like to thank Hype Mike for showing once again that he is not the number one guy. And he likes to blame everybody else but himself about it, blame the game all the time instead of winning the game. I'd like to thank who else is in it? Oh, Fallen, obviously, for taking my at the end and trusting the brother did work out. And also being somebody that fills out after a hot start to the season every single time. I also like to thank the NFC. I did the NFC West, NFC East. Oh, NFC South. I'd like to thank Cammy for giving me 5 straight wins before he finally beat me. Thank you, Cammy. I'd like to thank JT again for, you know, making an executive decision when it's probably not needed. And also, I like him for doing shady gameplay as well. Showing us that JT might also be one of those guys that are cheesy and then another natural. I also like to thank JC for showing how dominant the RPOs get. And also showing us that we made a mistake making him a commissioner. That's it. Oh, I'd like to thank Neff and the Falcons for a toxic bitch. I'd like to thank him for showing us once again that he's ass, and that any belief of success that you had once for him is definitely a placebo. And that wraps up my piece.
Yeah.
Well, at least I got
the worst speech I've ever heard, bro.
You've been way over time.
The worst speech I've ever heard, bro. Imagine, you know, you came here to tune in the Saints Panthers, and as soon as we start talking about the Saints, you get Ness monologue, bro.
We're way over time, bro. We're supposed to have 2 commercial breaks right now, bro.
To be honest, though, who the fuck wants to talk about the Saints and the Panthers? Name one person. Oh, and also, JT, can I clarify something? If you are down by 14 with under 2 minutes left and you have no timeout and you end up scoring a garbage touchdown, it doesn't count as a one score loss at that point, you fucking idiot. You lost by 2 scores. He let you score because there was no chance of you coming back at that point. So let's not say on the one score game like you had a chance.
All right.
All right, well, if you had Eric Stork in fantasy, you're a happy man. 16, 138, 1 touchdown. Bryce Young played well, but the Panthers defense couldn't stop Max Duggan. Good win by the Saints. They moved 9-2. Colts beat the CPU Raiders 35-21. So, yeah, Chargers moved to 10-2. Moving on to week 13.
That's a big win for that's a big win. I know he's trying to win that first place over Madison.
He's gotta win all these games.
Cam McFaul hasn't lost yet, so
No, no, I'm talking about over Madigy for the division still. They be talking shit.
As I said in my thank you, I am so fucking disappointed in you and Mike. Just curled up into a ball and I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Nope. I don't like it. Man. First sign of resistance, you're gonna curl up into a ball, bro. That's it. I think you should get a bad JT, next cycle.
JT not, you know, getting blown out won me 14 points or something like that. So,
well, what was it was not a one score game. Can we clarify that? It was not a one score game. One score game. That's a two score game.
I don't care. The spread was 20 and a half. I don't give a fuck if you lost by one or two. It wasn't three.
Yeah. As long as it was three.
I want a nice 65 points this week.
I got to go back and he said eight straight one score game losses. I'm going to go back and clarify that.
He said four. He had seven one score games, four in a row. This would be eight games, five in a row.
Do you count it as a one score game if you're down 14 with under 2 minutes left and you score a touchdown?
Yeah, you still have a chance. So yeah. All he had to do was get the onside kick. He had time. If he got the onside kick, he can go tired.
That's not a close game to me.
If he got the onside kick and scored, would you have said he tied it, or would you say, well, you lost by two scores because it was under 2 minutes?
No, I'd say that's a good comeback.
Like I said, bro, I feel like it counts in the sports book. been a lot of times where they scored a random touchdown and the sports book counted it. So good enough for them, good enough for me, I guess.
All right.
But let's move on through week 13?
Yeah. I don't know why I just did that whole fucking thank you speech, man.
Because you were not turning new.
It was good content, bro. It was good content.
I'm trying to turn new leaf, and I just do shit that makes it hard.
I gave you an out. I said positivity today, bro, and you just want to keep.
What's funny is A-Rod Sastry and Chet, can every first Wednesday of the month be a positive day? And here we are, first Wednesday of the month, you just shit on everybody.
Mm. We could make Friday positive days. Friday could be a positive day because it is the weekend.
Every day should be a positive day, man.
No,
y'all need to stop being a bunch of fucking Debbie Downers, bro. It's a great day outside, man.
Before we go into next week, so I just went through my playbook, and you know, I don't know why this wasn't in the mindset before. When you look at formations, like all formations, how do you view, like, in general? Like, you play – there's two types of coverages, and obviously there's three types of coverages. I'm lying. There's two types of main coverages. Either you're manning up or you're zoning, right? Correct? You got man match, but that's technically man with zone. It's kind of a mix. But the two gists of coverages, either you play zone or you play man. That's the basis of it. So when I look at my offensive formations, obviously, I never thought about – obviously, you just have offensive formations for certain things. I never
– All right.
Did anybody lose him as well?
Yep. Yeah,
I never thought – I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm getting a fucking idiots trying to call me. But I never thought about, you know, offensive formation to attack man, offensive formation to attack zone. Because you see a lot of people that try to attack zone with flooding concepts, certain formations where it doesn't really work when you're going against a cover three just because of where they're lined up on the field. It doesn't really stretch that zone or it doesn't put that zone into any conflict. So, like, just recently, just before the show started, I added formations based on and concepts out of that formation based on if I'm going to attack zone, if I'm going to attack man. Some formations are good for both man and zone, like stack. Stack is a good formation for man and zone because you got the spread on the right hand side to attack zone coverages with the spread, and you got the stack on the left hand side to kind of attack the man to man concepts that are ran. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Is that something that, you know, for you,
bro,
personally?
You fucking lost me. I don't know where this is going, but I'm so confused on why we're having this conversation.
This is more, I guess this is going to be more for Z and D Lloyd. You know, when
not,
you
not
look
the
at-
fact that, no, not that I don't understand. You just came out of nowhere and all you started with was, well, there's man in their zone. I don't. So, I think the way you mentioned it just kind of fucked me up.
So the man is done was funny though. I ain't
yeah, I, don't, I have. I don't know. It just. Yes. Well, all right. Let's talk about games.
In my mind,
so,
I was
listen,
like, yes,
there's man in zone.
That is how it works.
No, that's not what I said. I said there's two different coverages. I
know.
I
then he said there's man in the zone, and I was
there's
like,
man
yes,
coverage and there's zone work. Coverage. Yeah, there's two different coverages.
There's combos. There's combos out there. They don't do it in Madden.
There's man no, matches. I'm like
no, I'm saying like
man on one side, zone on the other.
Man on one side, zone on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah. There's combos like you know you see it in that's technically a man match. They run man match on one side. They run man on the other. That's split field coverages. Split field coverages, and you know that's a whole another aspect. That's actually really cool if you have the thumbs for it and the quickness.
Oh, I didn't say you do it in Madden. I was just talking about.
You could do it in Madden.
Yeah, and, I don't got time to do really all that, bro. I don't got time to do
have,
all that.
If you have the thumbs and the adjustment quickness to do so,
bro, you see me making adjustments. I'd be staring at the menu. I'd be like, all right, which one is this? Which one is this?
You ever so I don't know if anybody ever ran into this. So you know, you ever do adjustments to your corners and safeties and nickel, and they have the whole layout is different from dime. Like if you go into dime, the whole fucking hot routes or whatever you want to call it,
based off of like linemen, and it based off of like linemen and like linebackers and DBs and all that, right? Is that what makes it different?
It's six DBs on the field versus five DBs and two linebackers.
No, but is that what makes the hot routes different? Because I feel like sometimes it just like even the safeties they'll have different hot routes. But I don't know if it's just based off like the amount of DBs on, you know what I mean? Like we're just saying, I don't know what makes it.
Yeah, I don't know why, but in dime, like if you wanna do a safety, like you're running cover one, and you wanna put cover one robber, you wanna put the middle read into a curl flat. You just hit left on the. It's either left on the. Right on the left stick or right on the right stick. I forgot which one it is, but it's the same adjustment every single time. You try to do it in a dime, and next thing you know, you got a deep half blue zone instead of a curl flat, and you're like, "What the fuck?" Because
it
they changed
does
the whole
it
thing
a lot for the bluff blitzes. They change a lot, and I don't understand it. Like it's only linebackers are line. I don't know the formula, bro. I just know sometimes it lets me do it, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it's weird. But you know, back to my original point. You know, I know King Mike did a series, and maybe some people read it. I didn't really read it. But then I was, you know, sitting there, and I just thought, like, obviously, there's certain concepts that are meant to attack zone coverage. Certain concepts are meant to attack man. Some have both in the concept itself. And that's why I was thinking, well, if you're trying to attack zone coverage, you would want to be more spread compared to the condensed. Then, you know, if you were attacking man coverage, you want to be more condensed to spread. Like it's vice versa. And I just wanted to get your opinion on it, D-Lord. I know you say man up no matter where you are, so it don't really matter on defense, but offensively, do you is that something that's on your mind when you're making a playbook? Like you do you add a formation and add plays that based on the formation you're attacking man, you're attacking zone?
I think I talked about it before. I have a very kind of unorthodox way I go about offense. And it's what I just was pretty much instilled in me. But a lot of the corners I play for, we don't adjust too much based off the defense. So my mindset in general is kind of just like, you need to stop
this. This is what it is.
So like, this is what I'm going to do. And you need to stop me. And when I play Madden, I probably take it to an extra extreme. Like, I don't even try. I don't even attempt. Like, it'd be funny. I think Keon would be like, oh, he thinks I was running the cover four. And I do the cover three. Like, I don't even attempt to read a coverage pre-snap. When I snap the ball, I'm going to see where the fuck you're standing or where you're running to. You know what I mean? And from there, is the receiver open or not? Is he going to be there or not? That's all I do when it goes to my reads. You know what I mean? Other than that, like, I don't, because I feel like sometimes you could, I'm a big believer in, like, football's a simple game that people make complex. You know what I mean? It, you don't need to know what the fuck's going to happen before. I mean, it's a cool idea. Like, if the motherfucker's walking up, be like, okay, he could blitz. But when you snap it, you're going to see if he's coming or not. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, okay, I can get an idea. And that's kind of how I go about it. When I make my playbooks, I more so jot out my personnel more than I do if it's a man coverage or if it's a zone, because I don't really care. I think most concepts has an option for either or. Like, if it's zone, this guy should still kind of be open, especially if you run a lot of triangle routes. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to fucking be open, ideally. Sometimes it should just bag. You know what I mean? But, like, for the most part, if it's a zone, it's impossible to cover the entire length of the entire field. Somebody should be open, right? Yeah. If it's a man, theoretically, that's the best defense. In theory, that's the best defense if everybody mans the fuck up, right? Mm-hmm. But if somebody gets cooked, then they're going to be open. You got to find the guy. So I just kind of look at personnel, and I look at, like, what I have on my team, what's the strength of my team, and then I really heavily dive into the personnel aspect of it. And I bunch them together. So, like, the order of how I put the playbook down, so I might be like, okay, this is my 12, you know what I mean, or this is my 11. And then, like, I'll put all my 11s together. So, like, because I know the order you put your playbooks in is the or formations in is the order they show up in the audible. Yeah. So I put it that way. When I'm audibling, I do want to change a formation, I can still be, like, within that, within the personnel, but then within where it makes sense. So I might go, you know, I mean, from bunch to bunch open, everybody slides over, but it's minimal movement, right? The least amount of movement possible. I don't want guys really flipping and running across the field and doing all types of stupid shit. Like, if I have an off, say, or off, my fucking tight end would just come walk on and my slot will just walk off the line. You know what I mean? Like, I just want stupid shit like that where it's very minimal. And that's the main part I look
now,
at.
Now, I think I take a different
approach. So when Neff's done, I'll go too.
I wanted to add one thing to my point. I like the dagger concept. And for anybody that knows the dagger concept, you get the seam route, you get the deep in, you get the drag underneath. And it's basically, and then you get the curl or the comeback on the other side. And that's your look for man. That's your go-to look. If you see man coverage after the snap, you go to that comeback or that curl route based on what it is, or you could even look at the drag. But when it comes to dagger, you know, I got that out of tight formations, and it's not necessarily dagger. It's dagger I created because it has a deep in and it has a underneath route, and I just have to make one hot route, one key, one play exactly. It's out of single back tight. It's with the curl from the tight end, the deep end from the wide receiver on the same side. And then you get the end zig, the fake out go end zig, and then the corner. It's from tight Y off, something like that. And I turn that into dagger and I just seam the tight end, but they're too close for zone coverage because that wide receiver running the deep in doesn't hold that outside corner long enough to try to throw that seam route, if that makes sense. But that's the one reason I asked, you know, based on formation, because tighter those zones, based on the logic, they're not occupied with anything out there, so they'll come in closer and make a play on a something like that.
Go ahead. No, you got it. Go ahead. I'll wait till you're done.
I wanted to ask, Z could talk about this, you know, having formations close together and building a playbook like that is a very good idea. But the one question, it's not necessarily for D-Lloyd, because he kind of explained it. He don't care what the coverage is showing. He's just going to run what he's running and make an adjustment from there. For other people, would it make sense to have two formations that are similar? And then all your audibles in one formation might be to attack two high. All your audibles in this formation might be to attack single high. Like, having a situation where with that, where no matter what you call or no matter what the defense calls, you have access to those plays that are necessary to beat the coverage that you see on the other side. If you are a quote-unquote Peyton Manning or a Z type of player where you're trying to make an adjustment based on what the defense is showing you.
So for me, I kind of treat it like a chess match. Like I transitioned to kind of a spread style offense maybe two Maddens ago. And for me, like what kind of like it took a while to really understand what I was doing. But I think now for me, one of the biggest things I like to do is kind of try to treat my formation like how I would counter it. So if I come out in something like we know there's only so many coverages you can call, like 1-2-0-3-4-6-9 or a variation of something like that, and then you have match in there. So I kind of want to create concepts to where I don't necessarily like overthink it. Like I'm not over here drawing stuff up like it's creative play, but I also have counters to what you might do based on what you're giving me, because all I can do is guess, right? Like, I can see what you're in, and then you send something that I'm not expecting, and I have to adjust for that. So I just like having counters to your counter, and if it's not there, I'm getting rid of it. And for me, that's kind of helped me slow the game down. And I also don't mind having formations that are similar to each other next to each other, because that way I can keep it versatile. Like, okay, like, you just saw this look, but I can do this and make it look like this. And then maybe I switch it up with a motion, or I do something differently to throw you off your game. Because, I mean, like, say, for example, I come out in gun tight. Like, there's only so many things that I can initially run based off the alignment of my receivers, right? So that allows you an easier chance to adjust your coverage. So I'm, in my head, trying to come up with something to kind of get you out of your comfort zone so that you're thinking a little bit more, and that allows me to make my reads. So, I think it really just depends on how you approach it. And I like to put the defense in conflict. Like, I'm going to let you choose what you're going to take away, but I'm going to hurt you somewhere else.
So now
you kind of
explained your offensive mindset. What is your thoughts based on you run a lot of spread though? So you don't really run tight. Offense, or as somebody on offense or somebody on defense, whatever way you want to look at it, what are the benefits? What to you are the benefits between having something that's spread and something that's tight? To me, the benefits of having spread is you're able to stretch out those zones a little bit more. And when it comes to tight, with all those bodies in the middle, playing man coverage becomes a little more difficult because you have a lot of rub routes, you have a lot of chaos. That's where my mindset is, and that's basically what I was saying. And I wanted, what's your opinion on that? Do you find running spread that man coverage tends to give you more of an issue than zone? Like, what is your?
I'll say this, man presents its own unique challenges because, in a sense, it's athlete on athlete, right? Like, my guy has to beat your guy for this play to work, and there's a chance that...
It's the only defense that theoretically could guard everything. Theoretically speaking. Like, if they manned up and do their fucking job, right? Every person is literally accounted for.
At that point, it's really like... you know, you just have to pick and choose what you're going to, and you got to hope you have a guy that wins. And that's where, like, when you watch on Sundays, like, guys get, the coordinators start to scheme different things. Like, I always go back to this, but Packers, Rams, divisional playoff, it was when Ramsey was a Ram. He was lined up with Devontae Adams. It was man. They motioned Adams all the way across the formation and ran a quick flat to him, and Ramsey did not have the communication with his defense to bump him down, so he was wide open. So, like, I feel like, man, you have to get more creative to get guys open unless you just have a dog out there. I personally, I mean, it don't matter what you come out in. But if you come out in man and tight, you're cooked. Like, any formation where I have the opportunity to create rubs, picks, whatever, just like in real life, to throw you off your game and get guys open, it's just that much easier for me.
Yeah.
And when as a person who runs man, and a lot, so you see the same shit over, especially, you know, in Madden, you see people gonna come out in tight. It's the same formula when you play me. You're gonna come out in tight, or you're gonna audible to a fucking zig, or you're gonna try to run the corner. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of see the same shit, right? That's like people's go-to to how to beat it. And you really got to get creative with me, like, when it comes to just trying to stop it. Like, okay, maybe I'll take away the inside and I'll bring down the safety and take him out the zone, have him double him and kind of create a box. Or I'll manually kind of shade at this side. You know what I mean? Because I know he's going to try to run this. But like you said, it causes so many problems being in that tight that it's very hard to run, man. When you're in that tight formation.
So I want to talk about cover one robber for one quick second. A lot of people don't know this, and this is free game for anybody that listens. They have it programmed in the game that they run cover one the way it's supposed to be. You know, mm-hmm.
The inside slash shade outside, outside yep. shade inside.
Yes. But
it don't really work.
But they yeah, shade, the shading is broken, no. They shade outside, but what people don't understand is they shade outside and they're programmed to play over top.
No, so that's why, even if you shade underneath, bro. I mean,
shading underneath, you're gonna get, if they read it right off the snap, bro, you're fucking toast. You might as well kiss the defense goodbye because he's taking it for six if he's gonna snap,
bro.
Yeah. But for those that don't know, so they are programmed, the inside defender is programmed to play a top shoulder outside.
Extra free game, because I run a lot of cover one as well. Only to the numbers. So if they're lined up on the numbers or outside, then the game will convert it to inside shade.
Yeah, they'll be inside shade. And because the point is, the outside guy, you always, where's your help in a cover? And with cover one, your help's in the middle. Unless you're outside, you don't have that help in the middle. That help in the middle is too far. You could get beat on the slant easily. So the outside guys play.
If you're outside. Yes,
exactly. So the one thing I wanted to mention, if you do double, it now changes the mechanic. And it also changes the way they play it. That outside defender now plays underneath outside shade. No matter where it is, they play underneath and outside shade. So if you double the outside guy, they're playing outside leverage and underneath. If you double the inside guy, they're playing outside shade and underneath. And the one thing that you got to pay attention to is that if they run a streak, they will have a step on that defender. But if they're running zigs and their constant look for man coverage is, I'm going to beat you with the zig, you could double that and then just play your zone after. Because then he'll cover that whole zig, no problem. And then you'll be able to freelance with your safety, with your linebacker, whatever you use to double. But if you do double him, you got to look to see if he's running that streak first or that deep end, because those two things will be open. Or maybe even the drag, you might want to follow it for a couple seconds before you totally ignore it. But that's just a little free game that I want.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of little intricacies with the man. It's kind of cool if you understand it, but it's also a thing to you kind of overthink, because you could guess and then you guess wrong and the motherfucker's gone and you looking stupid like, damn, bro. And then you blame Caleb Farley. That's what I do.
Yeah, you just blame Caleb Farley. He wasn't even on the field at that time. He injured, bro. Caleb, what are you doing? Coach, I'm fucking on crutches right now. What the fuck are you talking about?
I should fucking shade outside or shade inside. Motherfucker goes the opposite way. You're like, damn, Caleb, that shit crazy, bro.
But, you know, moving on from that, we could go into next. HD, you want to give your opinion on it? Maybe some of the things that you mentally do with your offense, or even on what I said. Things you've noticed.
I'm on the same page as D-Lloyd. I'd prefer my offense dictate the game and try to let you try to figure out what I'm doing rather than me trying to figure out what you're doing. Like D-Lloyd said, I mean, there's so many things with like bluffs and bluffs, baseline, man aligned, all that stuff. I feel like looking at a coverage pre-snaps kind of sometimes, depending on who you're playing. Some people don't switch shit up, so it's okay, but most of the time you're playing those guys, those top, like, probably like 12 guys of the league. They're going to be using those. So I'm kind of on the same page. Just looking at it, it's kind of dumb. I'll see where he goes after the snap, but I'm basically, I am kind of on the same page as D-Lit. I'll pick what I want to pick, and Yeah, I'll make you adjust to what I'm doing.
I think it's more important to look at leverage, personally, than the actual what.
I look, yeah, like pre-snap, I'm more so looking at the hat count rather than what coverage you're in. I'm like, okay, because I mean, if you got two guys on the, you know, if I'm in a spread and my running back's on the left, if you got two guys on the right, I'm gonna go inside zone and we're gonna have a 3-on-2, and we're just gonna fucking push you out the way.
Or even if you like baseline, like I don't give a fuck what in my mind. And sometimes it fucks you because sometimes Madden does shit that just shouldn't be fucking possible. But my mindset, like, I don't give a fuck what formation you like, what you're running. If you come out on baseline, and I got a fucking drag route on my slot, I'm sure be able to throw that motherfucker. Yeah. Regardless, bro. Unless that corner is playing that hard, you know what I mean? So right, I'll snap it. Look at that corner. If he back up, I'm throwing the fucking flat. 10 out of 10 times. Even if I throw a pick, I'd be like, that's just Madden hoeing me, bro. But it is what it is. I'm going to do that every time.
But like, so while we're on the topic of it, it's just like, I was actually thinking about that this morning because I don't remember what I was thinking about, but I thought of this. There's some guy, like Cammy. I played Cammy. He sits in baseline all game. And JT does it too. What, besides obviously disguising your coverage if you're in like a 2-4-3. Wait, say that one more time. Cammy and JT are the two people I played for sure that I can think of off the top of my head. Sit in baseline all game. Now, besides disguising your coverage, what in the fuck is the major advantage that people are doing this? Because I know more than just they do. Those are just the guys that I play.
You're just hoping that they don't know what you're in, but they're like baseline. It gives, there's so many things you can do out of baseline, if that makes sense. I know JT does it to send more pressure and send pressure from different areas.
From the edge, yeah.
But, I mean, and still, like, there's still limits to what baseline can do.
Yeah, I was just curious. I didn't know if it was, like, it's better, like, just in general, besides, obviously, like I said, disguising your coverage. But they'll just sit in it all game, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to come out and tight. If he's in base, this flat route should be open immediately because he's on the sideline and 10 yards back. But you know they're able to fucking play that immaculately out of baseline. So.
Madden will hold you, bro. Exactly. Yeah,
the stuff's not open like it's supposed to be, or the you know you can't throw it as soon as you snap it like you're supposed to, and you got to fucking wait to hit the button, and then by the time you do it, the guy's already in his zone.
Well, you do what I did. I think I did it like 2 games ago. I got all excited and I hit the button and didn't register. I hit it again and this motherfucker pumped fake, bro. He pumped fake. I was like, bitch. Late. Throw the ball, bro.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was thinking about this morning. I'm like, there's got to be some sort of advantage outside of just disguising coverage that guys they're comfortable and just sitting baseline. But I've also heard people say, okay, well, if you're in baseline, I'm just going to run it on you all game.
It could also be a leverage thing as well. Like, I think that's what JT kind of what he's talking about. Like, if you, because you're now creating, you know, a fucking 7-man box every time. Every time, you know what I mean? Like, even if you're running out into a zone or whatever. So if you want to blitz this linebacker or blitz this guy, like, you could do it because you guys, they're not spread out. You know what I mean? Like, they're right there. And you could theoretically not know who's coming. It could cause problems. I think it's really good against, like, that is a really good idea, especially if you come out in tight or compressed offense. I mean, it kind of, you know, I like it there. If you're spread... The way Madden works, I think you can recover a little too well. It's kind of like, I think Z was talking about, like, the safeties. Like, coming down, you could get burnt on it.
You could
get burnt on it, but the way Madden works, like, you recover a little too well. So, I mean, that's why people still use it. You know what I mean? So, I think that's why people still use it. I don't think you get penalized as much as you should, in theory.
Trick to why that defense is ran all game.
A little free game. A couple of things. One, RPOs are fantastic against baseline. They're fantastic against baseline.
Damn, they're fantastic as anything, bro. Because these motherfuckers be running that shit on me, and I'm manned up, bro. I will snap the ball. You have one job. You're in man. And the motherfucker running the bubble, my damn DB will like just stand there. I'm like, go get him, bitch.
Yeah, I don't think it matters what defense you're in. RPOs are gonna be open.
No, but they even worse. Like the general consensus of you know, baseline and how to attack it before this Madden, even last Madden, is RPOs. You know, screens and RPOs. Because they're not in position. Yeah. So screens and RPOs, like when I played Greeny, that was zone heavy, he was really the best user.
Two games ago?
No. when I was even worse, when I was in Miles territory.
Damn.
I scouted him. I knew it was zone coverage, and the one way to attack it is screens, because you're gonna have maybe two guys on that side of the field, and then you're gonna have three, four offensive linemen and blockers ahead to, you know, bowl you away forward. So unless they use it, it's the best way to attack it: screens, RPOs, things like that. The other thing about baseline, if you want to get creative with it and run cover three out of baseline, but you are worried about the RPOs and things like that, if you move the safeties, like move them an inch, and then you man a line after that, it will still look like a baseline defense, but everybody else will get into a position where they could better play their zone or better play, go against that play or whatever. So just a couple things that I've done that, you know, is creative, and but you could still run that baseline without getting really chewed up with RPOs and things like that. Let's jump into next week.
All right. So kicking off week 13, just teams that are on bye week. The Cardinals are on bye week. The Eagles are on bye. Baltimore is on bye. And so is Seattle. So kicking off with the first game, we had the Buccaneers sitting at 4-6 going to New Orleans to play the 9-2 Saints.
Well, they're 5-6 now.
Oh yeah, 5-6.
5-6. 5-6. Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to play the Saints. Yeah. Give me the Saints.
Yeah, Saints.
No, Saints.
Yeah, I got the Saints as well.
All right. Any thoughts about this game? Do you think if Cammy's able to win this, this would be a good win and a good chance to playoff spot, but put his hat in the race as a legitimate contender for a playoff spot?
At 5-6 right now?
He would be at 6-6 if he won that game.
I don't think so, because the way the North is, I think at this point, like, they're all in the playoffs. So
who, the Suns got with the North, though. They still got to play each other. Unless the top guys lose all those games and it doesn't really affect their stature a little bit. Fallen could still 8-9. That's still in the realm of possibility. You just drop two straight, he could go 8-9. For all we know, or you could go 10-6. 10-7. So 11-6 can make playoffs. It just depends on who schedules what at the end of the day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll give them a good shot, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, this would actually be a good game. I mean, I think division game, you know how I feel about division games, especially now at this point. How many times has everybody played? 6-7 times, whatever?
Yeah, it should be about six.
I just played my sixth game with Cammy, and I think this is a sixth against the Saints. That's the first time he beat
you. So, at this point, it's one of those division games. I mean, I was still, like I said, I still favor JC, but I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
Little fun fact, I am the only one to
beat JC
in season one.
We don't care enough.
True. if he wins, I guess you're right. Okay. He'll be 6-6, but he doesn't have a tough remaining schedule. He'll play the Cardinals, Panthers, Bills, Colts, and Dolphins. He can win every single one of those games easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think his hardest game would probably be against CB.
I think he could lose against Beast.
Beast has yet to show me a sign of life this season.
He
played well. He's 3-8.
Three games.
He's 3-8. His season's over. And again, just at the point that we're at, you don't expect that much effort out of guys like that. I think it's because I say his season is basically over. He can't win the division. And I say that differently from, mine, because I'm 3-9.
but drama can also fold, and I'm still in the running. So, like, mine's not – so, like, you know what I mean? It's just guys that aren't in the playoff run anymore. You're not going to see Beast given 100%.
Oh, until you need three wins, game. And you might be in the playoffs.
Exactly. Three so that's what I'm wins, saying. Yeah. Guys like that, he has nothing to play for right now. Other than, oh, unless he, like, doesn't like Cam, and he's like, oh, I absolutely don't want Cam to make playoffs. But I just – I haven't seen anything from Beast, like, recently that – It shows that he cares that much, and that's just Beast because you just pointed him out. But like Debo's the same way. I don't think he'll. Debo's one of those guys that could have made playoffs earlier. I don't think he can at this point. So I just don't see him playing anyone. No one he has left has a reason to play 100%. I don't think they will.
All right, JC. Do you put him in the top producer category, like the top five for regular season?
No, say I was gonna say he's one of those regular season warriors at the moment.
You put him in the same. I wouldn't put him in the same basket as I was gonna say Hype Mike, because Hype Mike at least made it to the champ game, and JC had that one season.
He made it for sight. I think Mike's done it for cycles, though, so that's why I wouldn't put him there. I guess for regular season, I guess you could say, yeah. But overall, I mean, it's two different conversations. And you said it earlier about Z, and, you know, not to attack you, Z, but, like, Z does fairly well in the regular season, but hasn't done really anything playoff-wise. So it's like
regular season,
sure. Yeah. But like regular season, I mean, again, Hype Mike. Well, I guess did he go to the champ game? Is that what it was? But you know, historically he gets pretty, you know, to the divisional round, conference round, and then he loses. JC has done well in the regular season and then he loses. Same goes for Codes recently. Madigy had his one season five. And it's like a lot of these guys are really good in the regular season, but ended up fading out in the playoffs. And I feel like that's just because you're obviously playing more tougher opponents. And I've pointed out, like, Madigy's a guy who does well in the regular season. When he plays a top 5, 6, 7 opponent, he has yet to win a game. So, it's easily to tell people that they play well in the regular season. You could name a bunch of people that are regular season warriors. That's why I don't really care to talk, like, not that I don't care to talk about, but like, I'd rather be like, okay, well, like your overall success rather than your regular season. Everyone could have a good regular season.
Not everyone. Let's nip that in the bud. Not everybody.
It's still levels. It's still levels.
Definitely levels to it.
We're not talking about the like five, like tier five guys that are down there. We're talking about the actual like guys that are up there competing, like.
I mean, not the middle of the
pack. That's tier five. We're not talking about
that.
That goes for me right now. That goes for me right now. I'm included in that. I'm not talking about myself. It's those guys, those top 15, 20 guys. Those are the guys we're talking about.
Yeah. Moving on. Next game, Z.
Colts traveling to Tennessee to get held by the Titans.
Yes, sir. Fuck out of the cold, bro. Hey, Anthony Richardson's last game, baby.
The real question here, we murdering that dude, bro.
Funny as fuck.
Now the real question here is if D. Lloyd will activate the holding, when he can see Arch Manning in the rearview mirror. Well, not in the rearview view, but he's right in front of him. The exit's coming up in about five games.
He's in the headlights.
So I am. I've done it a lot of times this season, but Hank? We are switching the offense yet again.
No.
You really don't want to win, bro. I know you want to win.
No, listen, bro. Well, it might be a case of that. Who knows, bro?
Yeah, we got Arch Manning. Hey, I'm running the run and shoot. Oh, okay. Yeah, we know what that was.
Nah, bro, listen. So, obviously, with NCAA coming out, I was like, you know what, bro? I want to do something different, bro. I don't want to keep running the spread, bro. Because, like, obviously, I'm going to probably run that when NCAA drops as well. So, we're going to try to run some pro-style offense, see how that goes. No idea how it's going to go.
Under center, D. Lloyd?
This yeah, you've seen it a couple times. It's typically bad, bro.
You need to run the West Coast playbook.
You know why it's bad, D-Lloyd. You know why it's bad. You can't fucking run the ball.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm going to try to,
that's
bro.
Crazy. That is your friend.
Can you let me try, bro? Damn. It
piss me off how bad he is at running the ball.
Well, I'm a great thrower. No, so
you know what? We let you have your shine when you pissed us off when you sucked with Caleb Williams, and now, never mind.
I did not suck with Caleb Williams, so fuck
you. I've seen better Caleb Williams users recently. That's all I'm saying.
Recently, damn. Damn, bro.
Yeah, 150 yards, bro. If it's holding people to 10 points is really, really a showing for Caleb Williams.
Oh, what I was saying.
He's running the J.J. McCarthy offense.
So J.J. What I was getting at with me in the new offense is it may work, it may not work. It may be dog shit, but it should allow me to utilize our holding abilities to its maximum potential if we have momentum.
Give me the Tennessee Titans.
Titans.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what offense. I don't care what offense you run, bro. I'm not a believer in CB at all.
Maybe it's the lack of speed and the Colts. Besides Jonathan Taylor,
Don't let him fool you now. Hey. He got a 96 speed corner out there. I'm a fat Benjamin Morrison.
I think it's a lack of skill, but
it's funny how. It's funny how CB has
really good games of cycles. I will say that.
You're trash too.
It's funny how CB has the defense that D-Lloyd salivates over with the two man up corners out there.
Oh, bro, you know what I would do? Bro, I got mad every draft that y'all just let the top DB just fall to this motherfucker, bro. I'm like, yo, how?
Bro, it ain't hard to fall to three. Like, it's crazy that getting selected in the top 10 is falling.
You're telling me, bro's a little heated about his short slide to pick 7, bro.
Especially a DB, not even a safety, just a straight up corner, and you're like, yeah, I can't believe he fell to 5, bro. That's crazy. We got 5 QBs coming off the board for guys that have no QBs on the roster. Damn, bro, damn, I can't believe he only picked that corner, bro.
You got your friend that had to work during the draft. And you're like, damn, bro, I heard you slid on draft day. Where'd they take
you? 7? That's just crazy.
I heard that PMO analyst D-Lloyd said you were supposed to go top 1, baby.
That shit crazy.
Hey, fuck y'all, bro. He fell, bro.
That's crazy. He said he fell.
That shit crazy. No, the only
thing I can't believe Travis Hunter fell to A-Rod, bro. That's crazy.
The only thing that fell was the Colts every fucking season on their face.
that's rude. You know, we were saying that without saying it, bro. You didn't have to just put it out there.
So we'll see who pulls it out in Nashville. But next game, we have Kurt and the 6-5 Steelers going to Cincinnati.
Hold on, I didn't hear my friend HD. That's why he's my friend.
We both picked the Titans. I picked them first. He said, me too. I'm going Titans.
Okay. I can't wait for you to pick the Eagles this week, bro.
You know.
We've already established the Eagles are on bye week.
Yeah, I was hoping D wasn't paying attention. Like, yeah, bro, I got you. He even just added me, bro. I'm on a bye week.
Eagles versus bye week, bro. He said,
and the team.
What's the next game, Z?
Next game. Silent and the Cincinnati Bengals hosting Kurt and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Give me the Bengals. Just for everybody to listen, Silent has reached out regarding his lack of
activity
or participation. And he did mention that he was going through some shit with work in crazy hours and that he will be better moving forward.
Yeah, me too. I'm picking the Steelers.
If that actually happens, I don't know. I'm talking about better on as far as doing content and things like that.
Next,
I'm taking the Bengals in this one. HD's got the Steelers. D-Lloyd?
What is it? Steelers and
Bengals. Oh, Steelers. My fucking word.
Having... You interrupted to give us a whole thing about fucking silent, bro.
And then I just said it at the end before I asked you. 2 seconds before I asked you, I said Bengals and Steelers.
I actually didn't hear that.
You interrupted the important question to give us some bullshit we don't care about. Steelers and two.
Bengals or Steelers,
I'm going to go with the Steelers. Just having played the Bengals last week, if Joe Burrow is there, maybe. But, I mean, with Dylan Gabriel, I just – those throws that he makes are just not going to work. And they result in interceptions, and Kurt will intercept you. So, yeah, give me the Steelers.
All right, moving on. Next game.
CPU Vikings versus Fallen and the Lions. I know he's thanking his lucky stars.
Next game.
Browns Packers.
Ooh.
Next game.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
It sounded nice if we were getting like the old hype mic, but
Cam Jenkins will be back. He was suspended for 2 games. I think that's over now. I don't know if he was back this week or but he will be back.
I'm pretty sure he did he not? Last week. He definitely played last week.
Okay. But give me the Browns.
Bengals. We're going Browns. Wrong B team.
Everybody taking the Browns?
Yo, so. Cam Jenkins came back 2 weeks ago, bro.
Everybody taking the Browns?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
I thought that was established.
Next one.
Next game. Texans-Jags.
Texans.
Jags.
Texans.
I hope this is spread. I hope the Jags is big, and I hope the Titans spread is big. I can't wait. Next game.
Bills Patriots.
Did you pick?
Texans. Give me Texans. Next game is Bills Patriots.
Anybody taking up Bills?
No.
Game. Chiefs Raiders.
Chiefs.
Anybody taking the Raiders?
Nope. All right.
Next game. Broncos Giants.
Next game.
This week sucks.
Oh, we might have a shit talk bowl here. Cowboys Chargers.
I mean,
next game.
Yeah.
I would take the Cowboys to cover.
Next game.
Panthers Commanders.
Panthers.
Next game. Panthers gonna smoke him. Now
I don't know, bro. Miles King's telling us how he beat JT last year by 7, bro.
I'll take the Commanders.
You just said
I was joking, but I'll take the Commanders.
This month, all right. Yeah, Panthers are gonna smoke them. I'm gonna take Commanders.
I said I was joking. Commanders.
Okay. Commanders. Yeah.
Next game. Rams Falcons.
Anybody taking the Falcons? Next game.
Okay.
Take the Falcons money line. Next game.
I will hold my peace.
Dolphins Jets.
Oh, here we go. Stretch McGee's United. When stretches clash.
Stretches clash.
Give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets.
Take the Jets as well. Last game of the week. 49ers CPU versus Bears. Oh, wait. My bad, D-Lloyd. Did you pick?
Yeah, Jets. You're good.
Okay. Last game of the week. 49ers CPU versus the Bears.
49ers. I don't think Hefe likes playing CPU. I think he's just going to go in here not giving a fuck. I'm not going to lie.
I wonder if the 49ers will have a user by then.
Should have had a user 2 weeks ago when he left.
Yeah, I wish.
You gotta wait with fucking 3-4 people in it.
But only the executive decisions are made for things like calling up an eval player.
This is toxic. Here we go again.
You're gonna be playing NHL here shortly, bro. That shit crazy.
Yeah, you gonna kick me from the league? Fuck him. But nobody's safe from the call out, bro. I don't care who you is.
That's crazy.
I don't care who you is, bro. But that was the last game, Z?
Yeah. That's it.
All right. HD, would you like to thank everybody in PML as well?
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
That's weak, bro. You're supposed to go through each single
one. Positivity Wednesday, bro.
Positivity
Wednesday. That's crazy.
And I have a ring to it, bro. But just be positive every day. You know what I mean?
Either just pre and post advanced day, but you still fucking say it.
We are the breakfast show. D-Lloyd, I need your outro.
You have an outro?
He needs your outro.
Everybody have a good blessed day, man.
Yep, positivity. I'm up for the sign off right now. Sign off right now for everybody.
I appreciate the little things in life.
All right. Z, what's your sign off?
Like your peens.
Z, what's your sign off?
For democracy.
That's crazy. I already left, bro.
Yes, sir.
What's your sign off, HD?
Bye.
Everybody in PML, go fuck yourself. We'll catch you next time.